Chapter 26, Competence and Character. When I talk to executives and managers that don't trust the people on their product teams, I find that they often have very antiquated, and I believe harmful, views on what types of people to recruit and hire. So I ask these leaders to consider a very different approach to staffing. First, when I say that strong product teams are composed of ordinary people, I'm not suggesting that you can hire anyone off the street and turn them into members of extraordinary teams. They do need to have the necessary skills to succeed. However, I am suggesting that rather than obsessing over the university the person attended, or the ambiguous concept of cultural fit, or whether the person is a so-called 10X performer, or thinking you need to hire people with a deep knowledge of your domain, focus instead on what I'm about to describe. To be clear, there is most definitely such a thing as a 10X employee. These are people who have demonstrated their ability to contribute on the order of 10 times more than their peers. However, it's also no secret that having a 10X employee does not necessarily translate into having 10X results. That's because results in product companies come from product teams. And in fact, if that 10X employee brings along toxic behaviors, they will likely cause far more damage to your organization than good. Let's discuss the characteristics you should consider when recruiting and assembling strong, cross-functional, empowered product teams. Competence. Stephen Covey explains that trust is a function of two things, competence and character. Competence includes your capabilities, your skills, and your track record. Character includes your integrity, your motive, and your intent with people. Both are vital. We'll discuss character next, but table stakes for any of your hiring onto an empowered product team is competence. The person must have the necessary skills as an engineer, a product designer, or as a product manager. This is often where so many organizations plant the seeds of their future struggles. You've probably heard the old adage that A's hire A's, but B's hire C's. A manager that is not an accomplished product manager, designer, or engineer herself is ill-equipped to assess a candidate. And it is easy to see how the company can end up hiring someone that is not competent at the job. Moreover, without the necessary experience herself, the hiring manager is not able to coach and develop that person to competence. Normally, we hire for competence. However, there's nothing wrong with hiring based on potential. But if and only if the hiring manager is willing and able to sign up to actively coach that person to competence. And if they fail in that, to find that person a different job. That's a big commitment of time and effort on the hiring manager. Staffing is one of the three key responsibilities of management, but to be clear, it's absolutely critical to ensure competence. Without competence, the person in the team cannot be expected to be trusted by management or leadership. So there is no lasting empowerment without competence. Character. Once we know the candidate has the required level of competence, most companies focus on what is usually referred to as cultural fit. This is probably one of the most damaging concepts for your efforts to build a great organization. Of the vast pool of people in the world, companies filter out almost everyone except those who are perceived as a cultural fit, which of course is a very ill-defined concept. For too many organizations, cultural fit is the politically correct term for what essentially translates into hire people who look and think like we do. In our industry, that usually means hiring males with technical degrees from top-tier universities. In my experience, this is not usually conscious or intentional, but the results are plain to see. I'd like to try to convince you that cultural fit is the wrong objective here. Most people don't know that the most successful sports franchise in history is not the New York Yankees or the Chicago Bulls or Manchester United. It's New Zealand's All Blacks national rugby team. They have an unmatched record of sustained dominance, more than 100 years. The All Blacks learned a long time ago that character matters. So they have a very clear and unambiguous policy in place when evaluating players and coaches for their team. The no asshole rule. They understand that it doesn't matter how exceptionally skilled a player or coach may be. If he's an asshole, then he will be toxic to the team overall. So rather than narrowing a very large pool of people to the small subset that are perceived as a cultural fit, I argue to instead keep the pool very large and just filter out the relatively few assholes. The irony is that we know that competence and character are all important to establishing the necessary trust. Yet so many companies and managers hire either people who are cultural fits but not competent, or they justify hiring an asshole because they believe the person is exceptionally skilled. One of the unintended and damaging consequences of hiring people like us is that they too often think like us. It's not that the way we think is bad. It's that what we really need are people that think differently from us. This is one of the most tangible and immediate benefits of adding diversity to your team. The chances of solving hard problems go up substantially if you can approach the problem from several perspectives. So, rather than looking for people like yourselves, make it an explicit point to look for people that are clearly not like yourselves. People who come from different environments, people who were educated differently, people with different types of work experience, people with different life experiences. I find that when candidates are viewed through this lens, there are many excellent candidates to be found all over the world. Often, they are hiding in plain sight in your own company. Just make sure they are competent and not assholes.